Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue.
Welcome back to the second hour of Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media, Madison, Waukesha, Wausau, Wisconsin Rapids. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right back to the front lines of history in the making. We're going to the lines. Gary of Madison, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Gary of Madison?
Matt, morning. You know, there's a code 2383, insurrection. That would, anybody who incites and goes against the laws of the United States, 10 years of prison and you can't run for office. That would go towards Trump. As for this happened in Florida, I think the whole Trump family should be thrown in jail until they fully cooperate. They know what Don has done with those papers. They're all well aware of it. And Ukraine, I can't believe we're standing by, U.S. standby, where we let all that death and destruction is going on there, and they're trying to camps. They take these people from Ukraine and put them in camps. I blame Obama, and I blame Biden for many of these, what's going on there in the last 5-6 months. That's all. Thank you, Matt.
You know, Gary, that was powerful, and I'm gonna go through that a little bit because I frankly agree with you on much of what you just said. First of all, when it comes to the insurrection, these guys march up there. Trump lathers them up. So does Giuliani. So does Mo Brooks. So does Don Jr. So does a lot of people. Five people get killed. One of the insurrectionists was shot. Another one was trampled to death. Cop lost his eye, had a finger yanked off. But over 100 of them were beaten up. You know, they're dragged down the stairs with their heads bumping on the stairs. They were kicked. They were beaten. These were officers. And you're right. It is a felony. And also, under the 14th Amendment, they shouldn't run for office again, including Trump. I agree with you 100%. Right. When it comes to Mar-a-Lago, the documents, here is my concern. And in a sense, that's the most serious issue facing us now. Trump simply left the White House with top secret documents, a lot of them. And a lot of them had information from foreign sources. In other words, spies. And even if the spies' names are not in those documents, and they might be, their lives are in danger. The CIA at one time, and not too long ago, hired a guy... a Chinese national. I don't know if he was a citizen, maybe he was. And they, as a transcriber of things, and the guy simply somehow figured out a way to make a copy of everything, and he sent it to Communist China. And suddenly one day, dozens of our agents get executed. That's what happens. Our spies in other countries are very vulnerable. When Trump got in, the CIA had a spy who was in Putin's inner social circle. In this country, it'd be like he played poker with him, say, you know, like one of Truman's guys. They realized that when Trump got in, even if he didn't betray the guy, he'd shoot his mouth off about stuff. Russia would know that there was a mole, and they pulled him out. Israel had a guy that had penetrated Al-Qaeda. Everybody thought he was an Arab, and everybody thought he was an Islamic terrorist. And he passed on very valuable information until Trump shared it with Sergei Lavrov, the foreign minister of Russia. And Lavrov and Russia, for instance, are in cahoots with Iran. And even though Iran are Shiites and Al-Qaeda are Sunnis, the word gets around. Israel immediately had to pull the guy before he was killed. Trump either does things on purpose or by accident, and he causes a mess. So when it comes to Mar-a-Lago, here is my concern. He takes all this stuff with him. There's top secret documents just floating around the White House, for Pete's sake. He'd take it up to his bedroom. you take it up to his bedroom. Somebody found one in the ladies' room on a shelf. Somebody brought it in there. Staff was looking at this stuff. They didn't have security clearances. Then when he leaves, he says, put it in boxes. Now, Trump didn't put it in boxes by himself. So this inquiry is going to look at who put it in the boxes. Who knows what he took? How was it transported down there? Remember, the morning of January 20, he's president till noon. After noon, he's a private citizen. So what happens is early that morning, he had Air Force One fly him to Mar-a-Lago. They had boxes in that plane, and they had on previous trips. They were offloaded. Somebody loaded them. Somebody offloaded them. Somebody put them in Mar-a-Lago somewhere. We're talking about a towel room or something off the pool. But I don't believe that. It could be anywhere in Mar-a-Lago. There's no padlock on the door. It was there for a year and a half, this stuff. The archivists and the FBI and the DOJ believe that there's still documents there that he not only lied about returning, but also they didn't find in that one raid. If this were any other person, they would shut down Mar-a-Lago. They would send in a battalion of FBI agents, and they would look at every nook and cranny to find it. But how do we know that he didn't bring it to Bedminster in New Jersey? How do we know that he didn't take it to New York? How did we know that he didn't give it to the Russians? He already said that he respects Putin and that Putin's a genius for going into Ukraine. When it comes to Ukraine, I couldn't agree with you more. There's a genocide going on. And it is true, in my judgment, and this is not just on Obama and on Biden, because Trump was the one who was close to Putin and on the take from Putin. Trump said that Putin was a genius. He got all that real estate in Ukraine for $2 in sanctions. Mike Pompeo, right after the invasion, said he respected Vladimir Putin. But Obama had a weak response. They went into Crimea, and he said to Biden, we really can't help them. That's baloney. Obama was much more concerned about the third world and other areas. The Ukrainians are magnificent people, and all they needed was some support. Then the Russians are in the Donbass. Then they go in January, and Zelensky said, at least have a no-fly zone over Ukraine like he did over Syria. We should have done that. And we should have said, look, we're not looking for war with Russia, but the fact of the matter is that Ukraine isn't Russia and nobody's flying over Ukraine. Period, end of story. Instead, they routinely they've killed something like 5,500 civilians. They've killed 1,000 kids and injured several thousand more. 5.5 million Ukrainians are refugees, either in the country or in Europe. We're standing by and watching the genocide because, frankly, France and Germany are weak. France and Germany are in NATO when it suits them to be in NATO. The Eastern European countries stand with us. I would get Zelensky planes right now. He wants F-16s. He's not asking for F-35s. He's asking for F-16s. Have their pilots bomb the living hell out of the Russians. Number two, the Russians are bombing civilians all over the place. Nobody's bombing them in Moscow. Now, we don't need to bomb them in Moscow, start a war. But Ukraine maybe should bomb them in Moscow. They're out on the Black Sea. The Black Sea are international waters. They're controlled by the Bosporus, the Dardanelles, the Ottomans, the Turks are doing it, trying to bar some of our ships. I got news. I was in the Navy. Nobody has a Navy like ours. We show up the Dardanelles and say, we're going through. No, you can't. Oh, really? You can't? Well, have you heard of the Battle of Lepanto in the 16th century where the Ottoman fleet was destroyed in the Mediterranean? That'll happen again. Get out of my way. And you go in and you go into the Black Sea and you say to the Ruskies, get back to your Russian ports. Oh, we're not going to. Well, they sank your flagship with a missile out of a truck. What do you think one of our ships will do? These are pathetic people, a genocidal, sadistic culture. No people are bad in and of themselves, but these people are committing genocide, murder of civilians, war crimes, and we should do a lot more to put a stop to it. And I agree with Gary and Madison. Nick of Lake Mills, my friend. Thanks for calling Western Mind Day, Nick.
Good morning, Sensei Flynn. Just a quick shout out to Bruce Kopp out in Lake Mills area. He got me my Mandela Barnes signs and my Heber signs and Josh Call signs. He's out there working the beat for everybody. And secondly, with the student loan debt forgiveness. Now, I was talking to a guy, and he says, well, this is going to directly impact inflation. And I'm like, well, I haven't paid $280 for the last, I think, 2 years because of the COVID and everything else. And we actually, my wife, I'm a fitter. My wife's a nurse. You know, we make about $125 a year combined. And we owe $9,500. That's all we got left, and we've been paying on it for like 20 years. So how does this directly affect inflation? He says it's like, well, it's like directly like a cash payout. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense to me because, if anything, it just frees up $280 a month for me. I'll take any comments or insight you have offline. But thanks, Matt.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head. This does not increase inflation at all. First of all, remember a couple of things. When they talk inflation, they're talking about the impact of the budget deficit as opposed to relative to before. Now, remember, there's a thing called the national debt and there's a thing called the budget deficit. The national debt is the accumulated deficit, but the budget deficit is year by year, and it keeps coming down. It keeps coming down under Biden. Biden is a very prudent steward of our money. Under Evers is a $5 billion surplus. So none of this is going to have anything to do with inflation. Secondly, the idea behind this is that if you're relieved of that debt obligation, you're still going to spend your money. They're still going to get taxes out of it. You're going to buy other things. You're going to buy a little more food. You may take a vacation. You may buy a car, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a good thing to do. And, you know, people call in and say, well, you know, you should pay your debts. Well, you know something, an 18-year-old, when he goes to college, has no resources. He really does, unless it's Bill Gates' son. And the idea of educating them is a capital asset that increases productivity in society. So I think you're right on the money. I respect what you and your wife did. Congratulations, you got your debt down. And I'm very glad to see it. Going to a break. The lines are live. Don't hang up. I see you. I'll get to you right after the break. 844-967-2789. Right back after the break.
Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. Going right to the lines. Bill of Oconomowoc, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Man, you were talking about Ukraine a little while ago. I think that Democrats have to demand America recognizes what a job Biden has done with Ukraine. There's a chance that Russia will be set with their tails between their legs if we keep it up and we don't relent and we just bring more firepower and more firepower. If you read the stories of how that country, Ukraine, has suddenly power taken on what we thought was quite a force and almost brought them to their knees. Not quite. They're not there yet. A little more firepower and they will be. And on inflation was created in the minds of the far right by Fox, where they talked about it before it even happened. And correct me if I'm wrong, but way back when Bush was in office, they recalculated the way to calculate inflation. Inflation's been going on. We just haven't been aware of it. And they're using that and distracting people with Hunter Biden and all this other stuff. They've got no plan. They've got no hope. And when you give kids a debt-free education or attempt to, you're investing in the country. You're investing in the legacy. Keep it up, Matt. You guys do a wonderful job. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, thank you, Bill. Excellent comments. Let me, Bill raised the issue of Ukraine and inflation. I want to hit both of them a little bit. When it comes to inflation, for instance, remember something. We have worldwide inflation right now. This is not limited to the United States. And it's like a body. When a body has a fever, the whole body has a fever. You don't have a fever just in your toes. So what Joe Biden has done, quite frankly, and what the Federal Reserve has done and what our country has done is contain it a lot better than anywhere else. It's a couple of points higher in the UK. And so we are gradually bringing it down. The price of gas was over $5. Now it's under $4 in the high threes, and it's on its way down. I think Biden has done a heck of a job. I agree with Bill Economowoc. The second thing is on Ukraine. And I want to talk about that a little more, because this is a this is an absolutely disgusting thing that's going on over there. First of all, this gal, there was an assassination of a woman named Daria Dugin, you remember? And Daria Dugin was the daughter of Alexander Dugin. Alexander Dugin is an extreme right-wing nationalist nut. And there's some developments in that, because Putin is using that to step up the bombing of Ukraine, and it is going to require a lot more of a U.S. response in arms and support for Ukraine. But here's the deal. What had not come out before was Alexander Dugin. Everybody called him Putin's Rasputin, called him his brains and all that. It turns out that for a while now, Alexander Dugin has been criticizing Putin from the right, saying he's not tough enough in Ukraine. And he was hurting them with some right-wing national elements in the FSB, which is the new name of the KGB. Same thing. There is increasing speculation and evidence that Vladimir Putin himself ordered the killing of the daughter. That's why the father was in another car. That's how somebody got to the car to put a bomb in it. You know, these cars aren't just lying around for anybody to come in and put a bomb in it. And the idea was to punish Alexander Dugin and, secondly, inflame nationalists by blaming it on Ukraine. And that is increasingly the opinion of dissidents in Russia and even some of the few remaining quasi-independent news sources out of Russia. Vladimir Putin killed the guy, assassinated him in London and Berlin. The guy in Washington, D.C., it was never proven, but he was a Putin opponent. He was killed. Barcelona, on vacation, an oligarch who criticized Putin was knifed to death. So were his wife and daughters. And Putin said it was a murder-suicide. Who commits murder by knifing your wife and knifing your daughters and knifing yourself? Guy outside of Moscow was killed. There are about three or four oligarchs that have been killed. So by using this as an excuse, what Putin then went on to do was to launch a missile attack on a train station in Ukraine as a warning and to pacify the right-wing elements in the FSB, the KGB, who didn't think that he was doing enough. And Putin has just called for 137,000 more troops in the Russian military, because he's lost 60,000 in Ukraine since February. About 6 months, 60,000, 10,000 a month. In Vietnam, over 10 years, we lost 55,000 people, which itself was tragedy and wrong, and we shouldn't have been in there. But in 6 months, this guy lost 60,000. He has bombed the whole country. As I said before, there are 1,000 children that have been killed or injured. Millions refugees. The Russians are using cluster bombs in civilian areas. Cluster bombs are outlawed. That's the only place in the world they're being used. And we're standing by and watching them use cluster bombs. There's a nuclear reactor in Zaporizhia. It's the largest in Europe. Russians took it over. Then they use it to bomb Ukrainians. It has been shut down several times, including today, disconnected from the power grid. The nuclear reactors, they need cold water. If they don't have cold water, they heat up. They can melt down, cause a Chernobyl type reaction. And he simply continues to bomb schools, hospitals, churches, and apartment buildings and kill people. And nobody's doing that in Russia. Nobody's doing that in Russia. Biden just put in $3 billion more. We've given him the HIMARS. We've given him missiles. We got to give him a lot more. My hat's off to Biden. I think he's done a very good job in supporting him. He's being knifed in the back by Republicans in this country, and Germany is secretly working, I think, to weaken any NATO response. We've got to get Zelensky planes. We have got to get Zelensky. A lot more Russians have got to be driven out of that country. Going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Another major story breaking. It turns out that Bill Barr, Crooked William Barr, lied about the Mueller investigation. We all knew that. We all knew that when he misrepresented the findings in the Mueller report. And what he did was he fueled the far right, say that it was a witch hunt, but he was lying. There was a memo that people have been fighting for several years to have disclosed. What is the memo? Lion William Barr had said, well, there was a memo in the Justice Department that was done with extensive research and a lot of deep thinking by a lot of folks. And it came to the conclusion that Donald Trump had not committed a crime. Turns out that was false. When Trump was the president and Crooked William Barr was the attorney general, they controlled the memo and they just wouldn't turn it over. They said executive privilege. But then Trump lost. Barr left as attorney general. Now we have Joe Biden and Merrick Garland. And Joe Biden and Merrick Garland said, yes, we are going to release that memo. And we're going to see. The media is going to see, everybody's going to see whether or not Barr was telling the truth. Is there a memo that was heavily researched and it came to a conclusion that Trump had not committed a crime? It turned out when it was just released that it was a memo created after the fact. It was a CYA, cover your rear end memo, to justify what Barr was doing. And it has only been released now after Trump and Barr and everybody has still tried to stop it. It's dated March 2019. And it's not a heavily researched thing. And it simply is a CYA memo that says, we believe that Trump reasonably believed that the investigations were impeding his government agenda. Therefore, it's okay that he fired the head of the FBI. And he pressured his White House counsel to recant his testimony to prosecutors. And it was okay that he boasted to the Russians, to Sergei Lavrov, whom he led into the White House with no Americans around, that he took care of the Russia problem by firing the FBI director. All that is okay because Trump, quote, reasonably believed the investigations were impeding his government agenda. That's politics. The hell with his government agenda. That doesn't excuse him from breaking the law. He committed obstruction. He committed obstruction and Barr lied about it. The lines are alive. Do not hang up. I'm going to take you in order. We have plenty of time. Do not hang up. We're going to start with Bill of Shorewood, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Hi, Matt. About 15 minutes ago, you had a caller talking about the inflationary impact of the student debt program under Joe Biden, recently announced a day or two ago. He's absolutely right to be suspicious about any estimate that this would be inflationary. I would call your attention to an article that just was published by the Atlantic magazine by Nobel Prize winning economist Joe Stiglitz. Stiglitz makes three points. One is that the $300 to $500 billion figure that people are throwing around is not a one-year figure. It is the accumulation of future payments that will not have to be made because of Biden's forgiveness program. The true figure that Stiglitz comes up with to give it an annual annualized figure is $20 billion. And here, and he also points out that a lot of the future payments that have been forgiven under Biden would not have been paid anyway because some of these borrowers are in terrible financial shape and would have qualified under some other forgiveness programs that already exist. And the third point that Stiglitz makes is that right now there's a pause on collecting these payments. It's called forbearance. Well, the forbearance program ends this coming January, and that will require borrowers to pay $30 billion a year in total. So that would offset any inflationary impact of the $20 billion.
Yeah, that's great,
that
Bill.
Stiglitz,
that's great information, and thanks for... It's great to have a professional economist come in and calm things down, which Bill is, and I'd advise everybody to look at that Atlantic article, because that will put the lie to this business about inflation. Thanks an awful lot, Bill, for calling. Dick of Madison, my friend, thanks a lot. What's on your mind today, Dick of Madison?
Well, it's an ongoing thing today with the judge releasing whatever he's going to release, having to do with the Mar-a-Lago. And, you know, people are going to cry foul right away. Oh, this is missing. Of course it is. What they can't seem to understand, it's an ongoing investigation. And here's something I'm going to ask you. Do you think if some of these same people that are going to scream bloody murder about this today, no transparency, this, that, and the other thing, let's say they were to hire a really reputable private investigator to investigate something that really egregious was done to them or their family. Should that person go out and announce to the world who he's looking at, what he's going after? Oh, hey, by the way, you over here, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's crazy. This is an ongoing investigation. They're not going to point to people that were in on any of it and shouldn't, because we're trying to get to the bottom of this whole thing. And they just don't get it. And what happened with the Mueller report was a total joke when they got their mitts on it, Barr, and turned it into just a big bunch of nothing. I bought right. The paperback version, and it was nothing.
Well, he lied about it, is what he did.
Yeah.
He lied about it. But when it comes to the other thing that you're raising, you're absolutely right, and you're making the very good point that you can never satisfy the Trumpers. In other words, if they release anything and anything's rejected, they're saying, oh, well, then we got to see that too. So you're right. Excellent comments. Mark from the SAC, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Mark from the SAC?
Yeah, it's and kudos to Bill talking about the inflation. I mean, that inflation is a very complex thing. The reason we have inflation over coming off of the pandemic, I mean, there's pent up demand. Also, there's the supply chain issues that the COVID crisis caused, you know, to us, because frankly, it's been a mistake of the industry to cause those long supply chain problems, because we shouldn't be importing all this stuff from China. We should be producing more in this country right here, relying on China to provide some of our critical infrastructure, critical components is simply ridiculous. That we hear, you know, the Targar callers to call in here complaining about inflation, this inflation, that. Well, yeah, what were gas prices back in the during the Obama administration? They were, you know, poking over $3 a gallon sometimes. Fuel prices are part of the basis behind a lot of
Here's the deal, Mark, because you're raising a good point. Here's the deal. It's complex trying to deal with inflation. You know, it's better than deflation. Japan's had a deflationary economy since the late 80s for 35 years, and that causes problems as well. We've done a very good job in keeping inflation under control, and inflation's relative. It's a fever, and the whole world gets it. And there's inflation in every country right now. And we're handling it better than the United States than anywhere else. And yeah, it does have a lot of causes. The pandemic is a cause, supply chain issues, Ukraine, and a lot of other things. But every time there's a presidential election, the out party attacks the in party for something like inflation. And that's fine. That comes with the program. It comes with the territory. Thanks a lot for calling. Okay, there's something that has come up with Facebook and Twitter that really frosts me. They have removed pro-Western accounts as if they are somehow illegitimate. Anything having to do with pro-Western content. And apparently, our government and the UK government and probably our militaries put on postings on Facebook and Twitter directed to people in the Middle East and Russian-speaking areas in Central Asia. Our postings criticize the Ukraine invasion and Russian atrocities. They should. They should. They criticize, they stand up for our foreign policy against Iran, China, and Russia. They have an anti-extremism message. We criticize Russia, China, and Iran. And here is the thinking of Facebook, Meta, so to speak, and Twitter, that it is coordinated, inauthentic behavior. Country of origin, U.S., that's us, and the U.K., and that this activity represents an extensive case of a covert influence operation advancing pro-Western narratives, as if that's bad, that has been publicly documented to date. They're equating it with Islamic terrorism. They're equating it with Russian, Iranian, and Chinese inauthentic behavior. And they don't do as strong a job getting rid of that as they do our own. I'm tired of Zuckerberg. I'm tired of Twitter. Both of them are monopolies. Under the Sherman Act, Section 2, a monopoly is illegal. You can go after it with a civil action, or it's criminal. It's criminal. We haven't brought a criminal monopoly case in a long time in this country. We use monopoly to break up the statutes to break up Standard Oil 100 years ago, John Rockefeller. Monopolies are inefficient. They lead to higher prices, and they lead to thought control. Right now, for instance, Amazon controls 80% of electronic book sales and 70% of paper sales, and they censor what books they carry. If they don't like the message, they don't censor it. They don't carry it. You've effectively denied a market and distribution to those books. It's time that Amazon, Meta, i.e. Facebook and Twitter, are sued for monopoly and broken up. And you may say, oh, that's terrible. No, it's not terrible at all. We've done it with oil companies, and we did it with AT&T 40 years ago. And as a result, there are tons of different companies, prices are lower, and that's what you should do. But more importantly, if you break these people up, you can get your book distributed, even if Bezos doesn't like the message. And if you want to get pro-Western content to the Middle East and Asia, as opposed to propaganda from Russia, China, and Iran, I'm tired of people attacking the West. I'm tired of the people attacking Western culture. Liberal democracy is the epitome of human progress in the political area. What I would say, enlightened capitalism, any other system. I don't care if it's communism, if it's organized crime, whatever it is deficient. It is defective. All people are good. All people are created equal. But not all people live under the same systems, good systems. And I'm very tired of our own companies tearing down Western content, and they're not doing a good job stopping communist content and Islamic terrorism content. Enough's enough. I'm tired of these clowns. Zuckerberg is not an intellectual. Neither is Bezos. Neither is whatever clown is running Twitter right now, and they need to be broken up under the Sherman Act. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. We're going to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend. Thanks for going Western Mind today, Wisco Paul.
Good morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. As always, great show today. Well, I just love your program, love your callers. I did not realize how corrupt, I knew it was bad, but how corrupt the Trump administration was. And there's more to come to light yet. I can't believe the Trump Republic could still stand behind this guy. Even with the IRS, all they want to do is upgrade it to catch the tax cheats, to help everybody. But, you know, the bottom line here, this Irish Catholic that's running the country is doing an awesome job. He's looking better and better every day. In fact, I think he, with all the pressures on him, he has more vigor now than he did even a year ago. He looks better, and he's really on a roll. And I don't care about the Republican Party anymore. Go get him, Joe, because the Republican Party has completely lost their way, and I've said that before. But, you know, all they want to do is upgrade the computers and things at IRS. Who's that going to hurt? Anyways, I love your show, Matt. Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Paul. No, you're absolutely right. And the new guys they're going to hire are forensic accountants and lawyers, and they're going to be looking at returns. The new proposal is who make more than $400 a year. And there are people, believe it or not, who make $1 million a year, $100 million a year. And these people hire tax lawyers, and they come up with theories about why they don't own any taxes. Well, you can't just go into court against them and go, I don't know, this doesn't look right. You have to have a forensic accountant or a forensic lawyer that's on the stand, and you'll go, here's this shelter they use is a lot of baloney, and we're going to impose penalties, and we're going to get money from these people. So, no, you're absolutely right, and I think Joe is doing a great job. And, you know, it's interesting you say that. He's invigorated by being president. You know, there's an old saying that if you want something done, give it to a busy man, give it to a busy person. In other words, he has plenty to do. And he likes that. He has his entire life. So he would slow down right away if he was in retirement. So he can do it, and he's going to run again in 2024. He's our best shot. And I'll tell you what, who's going to run against him? Crooked Donald Trump. Let me tell you, I've got to repeat this for anybody who missed it in the first hour. There are still top secret nuclear documents in Mar-a-Lago. Just because they searched the towel locker or whatever the heck it was, or a storeroom near the pool, it's a big place. And then Bedminster, New Jersey, his other golf club is a big place. And his properties in New York are a big place. This guy's had this stuff for 18 months. We need it back. We need to identify every document. And he lied continuously about it. First, he said he gave everything back. Then he said, okay. And he sent some boxes. And they were all ripped up and shredded. And we put them together. And they said, this isn't everything. Then they met to negotiate in June. Why should they meet to go? I mean, why didn't they just go in a lot earlier? Because he was Trump and he was threatening violence. That's why. So then they say, okay, we'll give you a few more things. And they gave him a few more. And they still knew that there was stuff not there. So then they execute a search warrant because it's getting to be an emergency. Are they going to let nuclear documents just hang out there, top secret? No. So they go in and they got what they could. But they didn't get everything. They didn't get everything. Trump is not acting in the interest of the United States. He was always acting in the interest of Trump. He's been on the take from the Russians for as long as anybody can remember. He's afraid of the Russians. Some people say it's just because he owes the money. Other people say it's because they photographed him, videoed him in a Moscow hotel room, engaging in coprophile conduct. And then everybody goes, oh, no, that was discredited. No, it wasn't discredited. Well, you didn't come up with the video. Yeah, I didn't come up with the video. What am I supposed to do? It's in Putin's private porn library. That's where it is. But let's say it's not there. I think it is. But let's say it's not. He doesn't deny that he's been funded by the Ruskies for more than 20 years. They have their hooks in him. They have a silver leash on him. And what? You think that they don't want those documents? Putin just announced that he's already seen them. I think he's lying. Maybe, but maybe he's not. Maybe he's not. He said that some of them have to do with weapons that are still under development. If that is true, then he has seen them. That is treason. That is treason. A federal judge, a federal magistrate judge, signed a warrant attesting to the fact there was probable cause to believe that a felony had been committed under the Espionage Act and that the evidence of it was at Mar-a-Lago. That's a federal judge and the attorney general and the FBI concurring on that. Anybody who continues to dispute that and attack the FBI is doing Putin's work and are committing treason. This battle is not over. In Colorado, in the June primary, Colorado had a primary in June, a poll worker was wiping down or cleaning some kind of a voting machine, and they saw a concerning message on the screen. It said, quote, USB device change detected. USB device change detected. So that he brings in the investigators, and it turns out one of the voters had tried to put an unauthorized USB device somehow in the machine. The machine was taken out of use. The votes were correctly counted because there are plenty of safeguards against that kind of stuff. But a voter had tried to tamper with it by inserting an unapproved USB device into it. The concern is, what if this continues to happen in November and not just in Colorado? What if it happens around the country, especially in close races? Some voters apparently are inspired to meddle or sabotage, and that's because the Republican leadership has taken up Trump's call, many of them, that there was fraud in the 2020 election, which is a false statement. And the passive-aggressive identity politicians in our party go, oh, there's no evidence of it. Keep quiet. What do you mean there's no evidence of it? It's false. Of course there's no evidence of it. You don't do your passive-aggressive meowing about it. It's false. It's false. The majority of the country right now uses hand-marked ballots. We do in Wisconsin. You feed it into the machine, but you've marked it, and they keep the ballots. So if there really is any dispute, you can always count those, and we do frequently. But believe it or not, not every state in the country does use them. Some of the southern states don't use them, and they should be required to by law. The good news is that our safeguards have held. They'll continue to hold. But as long as the Republican Party goes, oh, well, maybe there was something wrong, and they wink and nod, the Republican Party is betraying this country. Come to the end of the show. It was a great show. Great call-ins, as always. Everybody out there, have a great weekend. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place on Monday. I'm signing off for today.